Amen, amen, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19, verse number 11. Anybody need a worksheet? Slip your hand up. You didn't get a worksheet. Slip your hand up. Got a couple down. Oh, all out. Wow. I look like a bigger crowd than usual tonight, but I just, well, that's good. Amen. We usually have a small stack left, and they got one here. I think they'll probably do it for us, but thank you. I appreciate that. I'll make more next week. Usually have a few left, and I'm trying to save money, not bring a whole lot of extra. You know what? I got one. You want another one? I've got one. I won't be using it. I'm going to make sure I give you the one that doesn't have the answers on. Because if all I have the blanks, I could be in trouble. This evening, after the service, we get one of our guys, maybe, where'd John go? John, would you help me get an 8-foot table down here after the service? All right. And we could have some ladies or some guys help us carry down some of these, what they call hostess gifts for Miss Kathy. They're coming down out of the attic. They're not heavy, so ladies can help us do it. And just, there's probably, I don't know, 50, 60 or so or more of them in there. And so just, they're not heavy, just need a lot of hands. And in other words, if everybody makes a trip or two, it's done. You know, so if you could help us out right after the service tonight, I'd appreciate that. And there was something else. Oh, Miss Kathy, while I'm doing business here, there's a box of these that we gave out on Sunday out in the lobby. Take those and give them to first-time visitors for the kings, just the first-time visitors, but use those for that. I'm sure they appreciate that. All righty, I think I'm done. All right, Luke chapter 19, verse number 11. And let's read, and then we will have our message. And as they heard these things, he, Jesus, added and spake a parable, because he was not at Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So he's listening to their conversation. He's saying, you know, I better straighten something out here. We're getting close to Jerusalem, but they think that we're going to start this kingdom right now. So then verse 12, he says, and he said, therefore, because he knew that was what's going through their mind, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So what they're saying is, so you've got the servants and the citizens of the country where he is. He's going to go into a far country, and really the context is just as Herod would have gone to Rome and get official authority to be king over the Israeli area, the Jerusalem and those areas. He was given that from the authority of Caesar at Rome. He's using that mentality because they understand that at that time, part of their culture. He says, okay, we got a nobleman, we got a good guy. Now he's being given the kingdom. Now the kingdom he's going to be given is the one where he's at. So he's going to go and get authority. Now, there's servants that are already loyal to him, and then there's some citizens of that country who said, you can go get your authority you want, but you're not going to be our king. You're not coming down here and rule over us. Go all if you want, but we're not on your team. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned from the far country with his authority, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a little, very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that I, my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, well, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Why are you giving a guy who has 10 pounds the other pound? Verse 26, for I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Let's pray. We're talking about investing in the kingdom. Investing in the kingdom. See how well we do here this evening. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. And Lord, thank you for the warnings, for the understanding, for the instruction. Lord, you want us to be profitable servants. And you're not playing games. You're not playing guess what the teacher wants. You have to say guess what the master wants. You're telling us very specifically here that what you need. And so, Lord, I pray that you give us the wisdom to hear it. Lord, help us to be profitable servants. And Lord, if there be anyone here that has kind of bowed their back up and said, I don't want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I don't need him reigning over me. Lord, I pray they'll take warning and realize they need a Savior. And you're more than happy to be that Savior. So, Lord, again, we ask for your Holy Spirit, and we're going to put in your hands in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, in this passage, Jesus and his disciples are getting fairly close to Jerusalem. It's toward the end of Luke. We're getting real close. In fact, a triumphal entry is coming up here and within the same chapter here. So, I mean, this is the time when he said, I'm going down to Jerusalem. The funny thing is, the strange thing, I guess not really funny, the strange thing is, he has told them several times, I'm going down to Jerusalem, they're going to abuse me, they're going to scourge me, they're going to crucify me, the third day I'm going to rise again. Now, somehow just whoosh, right over their heads, because all they have in their mind is, he's going to go down to Jerusalem and set up a kingdom. He's going down to Jerusalem and set up a kingdom. It's funny how we hear what we want to hear. Actually, I've had a few folks come up to me over the years and say, you know, you said so-and-so in your message. I'm thinking, no, I didn't. That's not what I said. Your ears were, that's not what I said at all. In fact, I said just the opposite. And I go home and I ask my wife, I said, what do you think I meant when I said so-and-so? Oh, you meant so-and-so. Okay. I thought, because I thought someone says you said something totally, I said something totally different. And we got to come with an open heart, kind of a blank page, and let God write his message on our heart. Anyway, so they're getting close to Jerusalem, which is the capital city. Boy, that's caused a lot of stir this week too, hasn't it? It's still the capital city. I'll tell you what, I am not banking on Mr. Trump's salvation or anything like that. I'm not here to judge his salvation either. But the fact is, it's like something right out of the Old Testament, where some king that's not necessarily godly all of a sudden puts Israel right back where they're supposed to be, you know, and he says it's the right thing to do. That's what it is. And I, you know what, I mean, he's just asking for trouble. Why in the world does he do that? I don't know. I be honest, so help me. I still think the Lord has given us a window. We better make use of what the window we've been given, you know. And so anyway, that's aside. I wasn't even thinking about that tonight. But anyway, so these people, like many, that will greet him with psalms and palms later in this chapter, have the notion that Jesus is about to set up an earthly kingdom. They were not looking for a savior, they were looking for a sovereign. Now, the fact is, a lot of times we like to have that sovereign. Yeah, you go tell them what they should be doing so our life will be easier. So that's kind of what we're looking at when we're looking for a sovereign. When we're looking for a savior, we're saying, hey, the whole bunch of us are sinners and we're in need of a savior. It's a different perspective, you know. We ought to be careful, even Christians. Say, well, you know what, Lord's going to give them what for? You know what, is it in Proverbs where it talks, I didn't even think about this but until just now, but you know, you glory over somebody else's downfall, especially if the Lord's done it there. It says, you better watch out. Don't you glory over somebody getting hurt or getting their rightful dues. Hey, except by the mercy of God, so go I. Anyway, so they're not looking for a savior, they're looking for a sovereign. Number one, A confusion of kingdoms. A confusion of kingdoms. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 begins. It says, As they heard these things, he added, Jesus put his two cents in there, added and spake a parable. So he joins into the conversation. Why? Because he was nigh to Jerusalem. What does that have to do with anything? Because that's the capital, and these people think he's going to go down and set up a kingdom. That's exactly what happens when he goes into triumphal entry. They say, Hosanna, son of David. You know, Hosanna, son of, what do they say? The son of David's going to come. What was that all about? He's going to sit on the king, on the throne of David, and take over. They knew the promise, at least of the promise. They might have had a kind of misconstrued what the promise meant, but they said, he's going to set up a kingdom. This is it. It's got to be him. And it is him. But not now. That's not the kingdom he's going to set up at this moment. Because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. It's the next thing. So they thought. Jesus has been talking about going to Jerusalem for some time. Now, he's told them that he would be abused, crucified, then he would rise again the third day. But somehow, they've missed the whole second part. All they think about is him going down to Jerusalem. They have this notion that Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem to set up his earthly kingdom. And Jesus is explaining what the process will be. They thought he was going to set up the kingdom immediately. He's going to set up the kingdom, but not right now. Not right now. Letter C, I think, on your paper. The first kingdom we need to settle is the kingdom of our own hearts. The first kingdom we need to settle is the kingdom of our own hearts. Many folks still confuse the kingdoms. There is a kingdom of God within us. The realm that you let God rule on your heart. That's the real thing. By the way, if you don't let him rule on your heart, you'll never be in the right place when he rules on the earth. You better make sure he's already in your heart, or you won't be here when he's on earth. People think that if they are saved right now, that there should be no problems. Let me say that. They think, well, I'm with God, so there shouldn't be any problems. Well, that's crazy. We've talked about that before. He will see you through the problems, but that doesn't mean there's no problems. This kingdom, in fact, this, watch. The nobleman is leaving the country to go to a far country to receive the authority to set up the kingdom back here. Where are we in the story? He's in the far country, and we're waiting for him to come home. Some are serving, and some are refusing to let him be the king. That's where we are right now in that scenario. So Jesus is not yet present as king of this earth. Now, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he will come back and rule with a rod of iron. See, he will. Right now, Jesus is allowing people to make their own decisions. It's kind of like in the book of Judges. The Bible says that there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why did God do that? To let them realize how bad it gets when man is doing what they want. Why is he doing it now? To show us how bad it can get when man does what he wants. We have no king. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Good is evil and evil is good. We just do whatever we want. So Jesus will set up an earthly kingdom, but that is yet to come. It's not immediate. Now right now where we are, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. There's going to be a time when he says, okay, go down and get your servants. Go down and get your children, my children, son. And then he's going to come down and make reckoning with the ones who didn't want to receive him as the king. Number two, let me put this in perspective here real quick. Number two, the elements of the parable. The elements of the parable. In our story, the nobleman is Jesus. The nobleman is Jesus, who went to a far country. We're going to find out he was the nobleman. Letter B, The far country is heaven. Or let's say the presence of the Father, the one who gives the authority. So the far country is heaven. Letter C. The kingdom that he's going to receive is the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world. Jesus had gone to receive the official authority to rule the kingdom. That's what the nobleman has done. And Jesus will return to take charge at his second coming. We will have the 1,000-year reign of Christ. He will be on the throne. He's going to come to take his place of authority. Right now, he went to get his authority. Letter D. The servants who he gave the pounds to are the saved that are on earth. That's us if you're saved. You know Christ is your Savior. You've trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You're saved. That's who we're talking about. Letter E. The citizens, or it calls them his enemies another time, are the unsaved folks on earth. The unsaved folks, or the folks who refuse to get saved. You want to say it that way. Specifically, though, in this context, he's talking about the Jewish nation. He says, you're my people. But he's going to come unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So in general, they're not going to receive him. But there are going to be a few. He has 10 servants. And even one of them is a slacker. He has 10 servants. And they talk about the citizens of the kingdom. This is straight as a way and narrow as a gate that leads into life, and few there be that find it. So these are the citizens are the unsaved folks, and of course the Jewish nation in general. Now, watch this. A citizen by name and position, but unwilling to have the king of their country rule over them, is not a citizen. Now, I don't want to, it's kind of like saying, I don't care who he is, he's not my king. Now, again, I'm not trying to get political, but when Donald Trump got voted in, there was people running around, Donald Trump is not my president. Donald Trump is not my president. Well, fine, and go someplace else. Because he's the president of the United States, and if he's not your president, then apparently you're not part of the United States, go someplace else. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's been times we've had presidents that I wasn't too happy with, and I'm not rolling over giggling about Trump. But he's doing a lot of things going in the right direction, and I appreciate that, by the grace of God. But there's been some folks who've been a president I haven't been too happy with. But I didn't walk around and say, well, he's not my president. He's not my president. I might have said I didn't vote for him. But he's not my president. No, this is where we are, and I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and that's our president. I may not be proud of it, I may not be glad, but that's my president, and I need to submit to the president of the United States if I want to be part of the United States of America, right? And the same thing here, he said, well, he can be the king, but he's not mine. Same rebellious, hard-headed, stubborn attitude, unwilling to submit to authority. Letter F, the pound. He said he had 10 pounds, and he gave 1 pound to each of 10 servants. Now, notice this is different than the talents. He gave 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1. Remember that? Okay, that's different. That's a different story. He's teaching something slightly different. Here he's got 10 guys, 10 of them, and he's going to give them each a pound. They're all getting exactly the same amount. Now, a pound, there is a valuable possession, but the valuable possession that I really believe he's talking about there is the gospel and the Spirit of God. They're saved. They've got the gospel and they've got the Spirit of God to go with it. Everybody gets that when you get saved. We may not all have the same talents and abilities. We may not all have the same assets. But we all have God. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Now, the regular citizens were not given a pound to invest, right? Just the 10 servants. Letter G, the job of the servant was to invest make good use of the valuable possession that they have been entrusted with. Watch. To propagate and multiply the gospel by the power of the Spirit of God. When you say multiply the gospel, get it to everybody they can. Not just the people they have, but they want to invest it in their area and see if they can multiply the value that they have been given. You get one person in town that's saved and thus have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Two people has twice as much impact. Jesus says, greater work shall ye do because I go in the Father. And if I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Spirit, the Comforter. And he shall be, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Now, we probably have about 100 people in here tonight, 90, something like that. You know, we're all saved. Now, there's 100 people in here that have the Holy Spirit. So each of you have your pound with which to invest. Which kingdom are you going to invest in? This one here that's temporary, even though Jesus is going to eventually have 1,000 years. But right now, let's say it this way. Our kingdom we are right now, invest in this kingdom, or we're going to invest in that kingdom. The kingdom that he's the ruler of. So our job is to multiply the gospel. Number three. This is kind of simple, but here it is. There is much to do before Jesus sets up his kingdom. There is much to do. As I said before, he left for the far country at the ascension. Now, right before he went up, what did he say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he went to the far country. What he said was, I want you to take that pound, that valuable thing, that thing that's more valuable than anything else, which is your salvation, the gospel, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and make use of that. And the fact is, when they were at the ascension, what did his disciples say? So you're going to set up the kingdom today? Now that was after this. They still didn't get it. He says, don't you worry about the kingdom. He said, but tarry ye in Jerusalem till ye be endued on power, with power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Samaria and uttermost part of the world. He says, I'm going to be going to a far country. Now I want you to go invest that pound I'm giving you. You all have the same pound. Make good use of it. So letter A, Jesus has been given the kingdom and will one day return to take personal control over it. He owns the kingdom, but he's letting us do what we want while he's away. Look at verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That word receive, to take that which is rightfully his. To take that which is rightfully his. So Jesus has gone to heaven to be highly exalted, to sit on the right hand of the Father, and Jesus has been given from headquarters, if you will, the official authority over the kingdom, and Jesus will return to this land at a later time. While he's gone, there's much to do. We have been given a commission. The servants have been given a pound to invest. And while he's gone, we're supposed to invest it. He's going to come back and reckon with them what they did with it. Letter C. Meantime, the servants have a charge to keep. The servants have a charge to keep. I already quoted it. Acts 1:6 says, when they were therefore were come together at the ascension, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times, the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's our job. He said, I'm going to be gone for a while. And while I'm gone, I want you to give the gospel to the whole world. I want you to invest your pound. Number four. Let's see the servants of the king to be. Servants of the king to be. See, there is a work to be done before Jesus returns. The saved, the servants, are given a charge to keep. Look at verse 13. And he called his, look, 10 servants. 10 is a number, I know 7 is like a complete number of God's working. Okay? 3 is a kind of a complete number in his miracle working power. 10 is more of a general term of everything, the whole package, the whole bunch of you. If you said, how much you give? Got 2 hands full. Got 10 fingers worth. 10 is a number of completeness, but it basically means a number of the whole package. And so he gave to 10 servants. That means all of them. All. In other words, everybody that was his servant got the same package, the same pound, the same valuable assets. How we use them is our decision. But we have the same one. And it says, he called his 10 servants, watch, and delivered them 10 pounds. And when you get back, you say, well, who got what? As you go back, they look through the first 3, and everybody seems to have 1 pound. So that's, you can see, you can generalize that. So they are all given equal responsibility. And he said unto them, watch, occupy till I come. Now that just doesn't mean take up space. Some of us are better at taking up space than others. It's not just taking up space. It's not buying your pew and sitting in it every week. I'm glad we don't do that anymore, but that's not what we're talking about. It's not just taking up space. The idea of occupy till I come is to be busy. To be busy. Make yourself busy tending to the stewardship of what God had given you. What did he give them? He gave them a pound. He gave them salvation and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now go invest it. Now everybody has. They gave it to all 10 people. All 10 each got one. Now get busy doing it till he comes back. Tend to these things until I come back. No more, no less, until I come back. When I come back, we're done. But until I come back, you're not done. And as soon as I go, your job is ready to start. And so we're still in the midst of the job. He hasn't come back yet. This is our job. This is our privilege. That's the servants, number 5. The citizens. The citizens. But his citizens hated him. He had 10 servants that served him. Well, one, again, was kind of not much, but he had the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Well, he's headed off to headquarters to get official authority over our kingdom. Hey, let's get a petition up. Let's get a petition up, and we're going to send it up and say, we don't want this guy over us. We want him out of here. Goodbye, good riddance, don't come back, because we don't want you. So some of the citizens of his land from which he is leaving to go receive the kingdom, the official authority. Kingdom means realm or rule. That's what it means. So he's going to go and get his rule to reign over this kingdom. And they're glad to be rid of him. They don't want him to rule over them. They don't want him back. They're certainly not going to serve him while he's gone. And apparently, by the way, you can be a citizen and still not be a servant. You can be there amongst all the servants, but you don't necessarily are a servant because you're living amongst servants. Citizen, just somebody takes up space. Now, there's someone who takes up space. These citizens are both unbelieving Jews and unbelieving Gentiles. The two distinctions of people groups, watch, are not Jews and Gentiles, but are saved and unsaved. Now, we're not done with the Jews, don't get me wrong. There's still the Jews and the Gentiles, but the way we're living right now, what he's talking about is saved and unsaved. So the citizens said, we don't want to have anything to do with you. Number six, let's see the reckoning with the servants. Now, let's go back here. Forget what the forest looks like for the trees. They all think they're going to go down to Jerusalem and set up the kingdom right now. And he says, oh, man, I got to straighten this out. Okay. All right. The nobleman's going to go and get authority. And he's going to come back and take the kingdom. But it's going to be a while. So the kingdom's not going to be what you think it is right now. But right now, I got some things for you to do until I get back. Now, when I get back, there's some things I want you to have accomplished. And then I'm going to set up the kingdom. The reckoning with the servants. Letter A, watch. Faithfulness is the key to being a servant. Faithfulness is the key to being a servant. Hang tight with me. Look at verse 15. Jesus still speaking. He says, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he now has the authority. So this is the second coming of Christ. He's now had come to earth. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. It's all one word. Gained by trading. Gained by their occupying. What have their efforts produced? Think about that. When Jesus comes back, what he wants to know is, what have your efforts produced? The Bible talks about we have a cornerstone, and then we build on the stone. But we'll be judged by what we build on it, whether it's wood, hay, or stubble, or things that are of more value. And the fact is, some people are going to build a lot of stuff, but when it's actually tried by fire, they're going to be saved, yet so as by fire. They're not going to have anything that will have survived the judgment, because what they did was really fluff. It was all about them. Or, honest to goodness truth, we've got so many programs going in churches these days, and we are all busy with the ball teams and all those, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have those things, but if we're not careful, that's what the organization becomes. Something, it's the rec center. It's a local concert hall. It could even be a lecture hall. We're going to bring some psychologists in and let them tell you how to, you know, have a happy marriage. Well, it's all in here. I'll be honest with you. I still have my radio tuned to a station over here in Lancaster, but I tell you, there's more and more and more and more and more and more and more programs that are simply, well, this is how it worked for me. Well, I did this and this is what helped. And if you get one paraphrased verse, you're doing good. Listen. Years ago, I sang in a Southern Gospel Country Bluegrass group. And you've heard me do this before. One time we got in this particular church, and somehow it was so tight, we had to move a bunch of stuff, and we were late. And I was the one that was given the duty to tune the instruments. But the piano was in the main room, but all the instruments were in the back. And so I took my guitar, I went out and I tuned it to the piano. And then I went back in there and it wasn't my guitar, it was the guy's banjo, actually. The banjo. So I tuned his banjo and went back there, and then I started tuning another instrument to the banjo. About the time I got done that, he needed a banjo. So I take the next instrument and tune it to the guitar that I had tuned to the banjo that I had tuned to the piano. And then I took my mandolin and I tuned it to the guitar that I tuned to the banjo that I tuned to the other guitar that I tuned to the piano. We got out there and time to get started, let's go out there. We started playing and we weren't anywhere near in tune. Why? Because I tuned it to something other than the final source. And see, that's what we do. We say, we'll take a principle from God's word. We'll say, this is what it is. And somebody else says, well, this is what it is because they did that and that's what it made it work. And then somebody else takes, well, they said this. They said they got it from over here. So let's do this. Before long, we have gotten so far away from this book. My wife is working on a truck right now that says, Lighthouse Baptist Church, where the Bible is the main event. That's what I want us to be known. The Bible is the main event. We can have a lot of stuff going on, but if the Bible doesn't show up, the Holy Spirit's not showing up, and we're not getting what we need. And so, faithfulness. We're going to come up with that. Anyway, we got to be faithful. We got to occupy when we come. We've got to make sure that we're producing something. That's where we were. We're producing something. We're going to produce something. We've got to go back to the pound that he gave us. Verse 16. Then came the first servant, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Well, so have I. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant. Thank you very much. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Now, they both serve the same thing. Now, he's not mad at him. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Now, watch me. Faithfulness is the key to being a servant. If a servant's not faithful, he's not serving. He's not serving the master if he's not being faithful to the master. Am I right? Okay. So he's not really playing the role of a servant if he's not being faithful. Now watch this. Number two, true faithfulness is always faithful. True faithfulness is always faithful. You cannot be considered faithful if there are lapses in your faithfulness. Well, I'm faithful to my wife 364 days a year. But there's one day a year that we can just kind of go wild. Am I faithful? No! Number three, it is not our position, or our authority, if you will, is not our position to determine the worth of something to determine if faithfulness is warranted. It's not our position to determine the worth of something to determine if faithfulness is warranted. Number one, I think you understand this. A truly faithful servant is faithful in the small things as well as the big things. It is not the size or the significance of the task to which we are to be faithful, but that we are faithful to the master. You follow what I'm saying there? So he says, listen, I gave you 1 pound that you were responsible for. What did you do with it? Well, he was so faithful with it, he got 10 out of that. He's a pretty good guy. I think we ought to give him, there's somebody I can trust. There's somebody who's diligent. There's somebody who's willing to work. He takes his service to me serious. I have often said when we hire people in our church, one of the things is I'd hire character over skill. I wouldn't have the skill, but I'll hire character over skill because if they got character, they can be taught. If they have character, they want to be taught. If they have character, they're not going to refuse to be taught. If they refuse to be taught, I hired the wrong person because they have bad character. Is that what I'm saying? So a faithful is not determined by what it was that we were faithful about. If you're faithful to the master, then you're faithful. If he says, hold this penny, and you say, it's just a penny, and you don't take good care of that penny, you're not faithful. And we probably have all failed in our faithfulness from some time or another.
God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Aren't you glad for that? When he's faithful. And his mercies are new every morning. So did you fail yesterday? All right, let's do it right today. Let's do it right today. Letter B. I'm sorry, number two. We are not faithful to the task, but faithful to the one who gave us the task. You follow what I'm saying there? It's not the value of the task. It's the master who gave us the task. Makes no difference whether it's a big job or a little job. If you give a guy, listen, if I had an assistant pastor and he wouldn't clean a toilet, if I asked him, I wouldn't hire him. Now, chances are most of our assistant pastors have never had to clean a toilet, or at least not many. Fact is, Sunday morning after the morning service, somebody said, you know, that the toilet's running over in the ladies' room. Be honest with you, I called John, but he didn't pick up. You were long gone, I think. But anyway, I don't know. You were long gone. But, somebody ought to do that. And I'm somebody. So I went in the men's room, and I got the plunger, went in the ladies' room, and plunged away. And we got her open, and then one of our ladies very humbly said, I'll mop up. Bless her heart. Amen. I'm not faithful to the task. You need to be faithful to the one who gave us the task. So the kingdom starts first in our heart. If the king is king in our heart, hey, in the new kingdom, he has 10 cities. All because he took care of that one little pound and proved himself faithful. Letter B. Excuses for a servant not to serve are unacceptable. Excuses for a servant not to serve are unacceptable. Why? Because if I didn't serve, then I'm not a servant. Now, I know there's providential things and so forth, but look what he said. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Verse 22, thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them, that stood by, take from him the pound and give unto him that hath 10 pounds. Underneath that, if a servant is not serving, he's not a servant. Why did he not serve? Because he was not faithful to the master who gave him the task. I don't know whether this is a military saying and one you've all heard, but it's not mine to reason why, but to do or die. God says, this is what I need you to do. Yes, sir. I don't know why. I'm not sure why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it because I'm faithful to the master. I'm not here to determine whether the task is worth being faithful to. But if my master says, do it, maybe it's one little step in a much larger plan. But my master says, do it. So in faithfulness to my master, I do it. Let her see. Why does the one with the most get more? Why does the one with the most get more? So he said to them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Verse 25 says, and they said unto him, well, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. You gave him, why, if he has 10 pounds, why are you giving it to him? Those that have done the most, see, he had one and he made 10 out of them, right? So actually, I guess he had 11. But he was talking about who had made 10 more pounds. He said, well, here's another one. Those that have done the most and have been the most faithful should be the most encouraged and rewarded. If you need something done, find somebody that's busy. You ever hear that saying? Need something done, find somebody who's busy. There are people who just work and work and work and they're busy and they'll get something done. And there are some people, you give them a task and it's too much. They want to help, but you give them a little task. Oh, no, man, I don't have time to do that. Well, that's a lot. Well, why were you serving? You see, they wanted to be faithful to the task to get a pat on the back instead of faithful to the master who gave him the task to do. They want to get done and have it said of them, they served. Instead of saying nothing and just serving. You see that? He says, that man, he wasn't busy talking and trying to figure out this and working up excuses and, oh, he's an austere man, he does this and that, I can't. He just got the job done. That's the boy that deserves it. He'll make use of it. Do we give our master a bunch of excuses why we cannot be faithful, or are we just faithful? Listen, there can be some times that things that we have done in our service for the Lord, we say, I don't even understand why we did that. And down the road, we'll find out. Dr. Hiles and Dr. John R. Rice did a conference, the story is told. And whether something wasn't good or whatever it was bad, and there was just a handful of people showed up there. If I remember right, it was down in Georgia. And they got in their car and they left. And they said, well, that was a waste of time. I'm sure it wasn't very successful. But there was a young postal worker sitting, not a disgruntled one, a gruntled one, not disgruntled, but a gruntled one. Anyway, a postal worker sitting in those pews out of that handful of people, and his name was Curtis Hudson. And God lit a fire in Curtis Hudson's heart. And he took a church that was running 30 people, and it became the fastest growing church in Atlanta. I think at one time the fastest growing church in America. I'm not sure, but at least the fastest growing church in Atlanta, in Georgia, the whole state of Georgia. By the time he left, they were running over 5,000 people because God lit a fire underneath his heart. Because why? Because Dr. Hiles and Dr. Rice were faithful to the master. If they had been faithful to the task, it's possible for them to say, you know what, why don't we just reschedule? You know, why waste our time and your energy and your money? Let's not even bother. No, they were faithful to the master. The master knows what the job is that needs to be done. Verse 26, he says, for I say unto you that unto everyone that hath, shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. Now, there's a lot of times in our grammar, in the grammar in the Bible, it makes assumptions. This is what it's saying. Jesus says, that unto everyone that hath been faithful and has gained. That's not saying, well, see, what we'll do, so he has eternal life, and so we'll give him more. He doesn't have eternal life. He doesn't do anything. We'll take away his eternal life. All kinds of crazy things. What he's saying is, he that hath. What was it that they're talking about he has? He has 10 pounds. Well, why does he have 10 pounds? Because he's been faithful with the pound he had. So he's been faithful and has gained. He says, unto everyone that hath been faithful and has gained shall be given. And for him that hath not been faithful and has not gained, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. Because listen, he's not using it for him, for the master. He's using it for him. And I've got an asset here that belongs to the master and is supposed to be used by one of the servants to gain for the master. But if you're going to use what you have to gain for you, forget it. I'll take it away and I'll give it to somebody else who's doing something with what I've given him. I had a guy come to me, oh man, 20 years ago, maybe longer than that. And he was an older gentleman. At one year time in his life, had a radio program in Philadelphia on the radio program, way back when you had live singers on the radio. And he was one of our members. And Dr. Smith, his voice was starting to get kind of rough. And I mean, he was in his 80s, and it wasn't where they should be anymore, and it was kind of bad, and here and there and yon. And Dr. Smith came to me, and he said, all right, on Sunday morning when all our visitors here, here's kind of who I want up on the platform, and here's, you can use them a certain, you can use him. But he said, you know, we had two services, so out of those eight Sunday morning services, two services every Sunday morning, it's eight services. He says, these people, I want about here. So these feasts, I want them on there, one of those services every Sunday morning. And so he had a list of folks that they were going to be on there as many as five times in a month. He had him on there to be on there four times. Just one, different. And I could see it coming. I said, I'm not sure we should do that. I mean, I know he's not what he used to be, but I'm not sure that's worth the squeezing there, you know. He said, "No." I said, "So we have a certain one. I don't want to knock off this one or this one, this one." So that's what I want to do. Well, sure enough, one day after the music schedule came out, he had counted all the times he was singing, and then counted all the times this person is singing and this person is singing and that person is singing, and he was so close to being the top number. It was hardly, but it wasn't the top. Or equal to the top. And he came in my office and he says, "What's that supposed to mean?" I said, "What do you?" He said, "Look at this. They're on there five times and I'm on there four." And I tried my best to smooth. He says, "Listen, if you're not going to," he says, "this is all I have to serve the Lord anymore. He had bad feet and other things. This is all I have to serve the Lord. If I can't use it here, I'll go someplace where they'll use me." And I said, "Well, I don't want you to do that. I don't think you want to do that. But this is where we are. And probably, you know, the next month it'll be switched around a little bit." Well, he got something stuck in his craw. Within 6 months, he had a health problem. And I went in to see him in the hospital. And whatever it was that was going on affected his voice. And this was all he had left. And he cried with a tear in his eye and said, "Sterling, I don't have anything to give the Lord anymore." Now, I didn't give him this message, but I thought it. You serve you. God gives us things to serve him with. If we don't serve him with it, he might just take it back and give it that spot to somebody else who will serve him. We say he was singing. He was looking for a different kingdom. You're going to set up the kingdom now? We're just going to show everybody what's what. No, what I want you to do is to follow me. Let me be your master. The servant I'm looking for right now is what John the Baptist says. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye. That's what he's looking for. God multiplies the efforts and doesn't just add to them. He multiplies them. I'm going to give you 10 cities. Letter D. The ones that gain the most will be given the greater opportunity to gain even more. The ones that gain the most are given the greatest opportunity to gain even more. He's been faithful in, he says, very little. He's been faithful in very little. Faithful. But faithful to the master, not faithful to the task. See, he was faithful when it was very little. Faithful in very little, I will make you ruler over 10 cities. What God was promoting was not the task, but the faithfulness. Number 7, reckoning with the citizens. Reckoning with the citizens. Verse 27, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither,
and slay them before me. Those whom he finds upon his return that refuse to submit to his authority will perish. By the way, they sent ahead and said, we refuse. We can't wait till he shows up on his white horse with truth written on his thigh to say, oh, I'll submit. Too late. See, God knows our heart. We've already sent a message ahead. I don't want him rolling over me. And if we don't get that straightened out before he comes back to get us either at the second coming or before he comes back and they send his angels for me to take us to heaven, if we don't get that straightened out before that, he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still. And we go into glory in the same condition, not glory, to eternity in the same condition we left the temporal. Now this parable is in reference to the actual effort that's made in the work of the Lord, the occupying, busy at the task. Now by the way, a lot of churches are busy. They're not busy at the task. We can be really busy and have a good time and laugh and hoot and holler and all those kind of things. That's wonderful. And there's time for fellowship. But we can be busy, but not busy at the task. Faithful to the busyness rather than faithful to the master. Did they give the same effort to the job of occupying? No. One got 10 of them, one got 5, one didn't do anything. Now the talents in Matthew 25 are speaking of the effort in that. Did you make an effort at all or not? Those that made the same effort may not get the same result because they have several abilities. That's a different story. So don't try to put these two together. You know, folks who try to put those two together are the same people who say, well, it's close. The guy who wrote it down must have messed it up. You know, they miscopied it the second time. Don't go there. This preacher repeats himself because he's taking something and doing, and Jesus repeated himself. Things are almost the same, but not quite. Look at it. Now, those that made the same effort may not get the same result because of their several abilities, but they will get the same reward. That's the talents. Here, they all received the same amount, 1 pound. Did they all work with it or not? That's the question. We're all saved. We all have the gospel to share. We all have the Holy Spirit. Did we make use of the valuable possession that we were given by the Master? Did you invest what you were given in order to profit the kingdom and the Master, or just looking out for yourself? Investing in the kingdom. Father, again, we thank you for speaking to us, and I appreciate it, Lord. These parables are great lessons for us to understand, to kind of fine-tune some things. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. Thank you for it. In Christ's name.